Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great holiday weekend, and it is really nice to be with you. Another big week. We are into the month of December. Let's make sure we finish this year strong. Come and get some. This program, as you know, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so your Monday show looks like this. Jason Lockenfora is going to join me in the next segment. I start off every Monday during the NFL season with a complete recap, and then JLC joins us to share his thoughts, too. He's got inside information. Jason Lockenfora coming up next segment. Top of hour number two. He is a jungle favorite. Bob Myers, Golden State Warriors president of basketball operations. That's in the second hour. Bills safety, Micah Hyde. Also in hour number two. Bills Mafia, you are within one game of the Patriots in the East. So we will get into all of that. Monday is an ATP day. You know this. Also, episode 106 of the Jim Rome podcast is up. I don't want that to get lost in the holiday shuffle. Holly Robinson Pete came on. She was awesome, and I will reset that too. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Get in before the end of the year. Set yourself up for the start of next year. Take your shot. Shoot your shot. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you know you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So Thanksgiving weekend, obviously, is one of the best weekends of the year for sports. You've got 4 days of insanity. So by the time Monday rolls around, what happened on a Thursday feels like a year ago. As an example, does it really feel like it's been a year since Buffalo went into Jerry's house and humiliated the Clapper and Jera et al? It does. That seems like a lot longer than 4 days ago. Also, did a college team really lose a football game because a player scored a TD, pretended to be a dog, relieving himself, got flagged, and then they missed the extra point? Or was that just some kind of wacky dream I had after falling into a deep turkey coma? Nope. Luckily, that really did happen. Incredibly enough, I woke up and it was real. And it did happen and it was beautiful. I mean, shut it down. Let's go home, because it will never get better than this.
Here comes the pressure. Corral towards the goal line. It is caught. It is a touchdown. Elijah Moore. And they're an extra point away from tying the game. And penalty markers get thrown after the play.
Oh. Uh-oh, big time extra point here.
A sportsmanlike conduct foul. 8 on the offense. We're having a timeout.
So this is going to be an extended extra point try because of the excessive celebration penalty against Ole Miss. The pick is up, and it is no good!
Uh-oh! Is that what they're now calling a dog lifting his leg? Excessive celebration? Hope that was worth it. Although I'm guessing it wasn't. Not when it's a big reason why you lost to your biggest rival. I try and cut college players slack generally because they're not paid, most of them. But my man, if you're going to go with a celebration like that, in that situation, man, you better get your money's worth. You better go all in. Dog urination, and then if you're going to get 15 yards and it's going to cost your team a chance of winning, dog urination, and then you go next level with dog dumping and you rip one of those little green bags out of your sock like you're cleaning up after the pooch.
Doggy dog.
Doggy dog, man. Go all in. If you're going to take that penalty in that situation, you better get your money's worth. My man Elijah Moore crawling around in the end zone and relieving himself like a dog. It's going to be a long time before I unsee that. Good. I hope I never unsee that. Thank goodness the internet's in ink. That was wild. Only on Rival Week. Rivalry Week. I mean, there was so much that happened over the weekend that I'm not going to be able to get to all of it, but suffice to say, somehow Jason Garrett's weekend just got better. When that didn't seem possible. Because even after that bad loss at home on national TV, they're still incredibly in first place in the NFC East because of the Miami Dolphins. break up the Dolphins because that crew is breaking out plays like this.
Fourth and goal. Looks like they're bringing Sanders out.
Fake.
They're going to fake this thing. The Dolphins have players spread all over the field. Five to the left, four to the right. They run it. They throw a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Dolphins radio on the call. The punter taking the snap and flipping it to the kicker. Like, I'm not sure what's worse. Philadelphia getting hooked by the kicker, deking somebody at the line of scrimmage and getting free in the end zone, or the fact that Eagles coach Doug Peterson said they practiced facing trick plays all week long. Obviously, they didn't practice for that one. And it was pretty glorious. If I'm an Eagle fan and I saw that, I'd be looking for the biggest pile of horse crap imaginable for lunch. How'd that happen to them? And while that was one of the worst things that happened to anybody on the field Sunday, that's still not nearly as bad as what happened to the Jets, who somehow managed to lose to the winless Bengals. Now check that. They didn't just lose, they got hammered 22-6. Cincy was marching to a pristine and flawless 0-16 season, and then the Jets just blew that whole thing up. I mean, there was a time when I would have been pissed that something like that happened. Pissed that a New York team ruined nearly a year's worth of hard work for a team that was working a dream season and on its way to running a table in reverse. Strangely, I'm not mad. In fact, I'm impressed. I'm not here to clown and kill the Jets. I'm here to hype the Jets. I mean, find me a more impressive feat than the Jets losing to both the Dolphins and the Bengals in the same season. And if the Jets manage to lose to two of the worst teams ever in the same season, what does that make the Jets? They just lost to two of the worst teams ever in the same season. So what does that make them? What's better than that? Nothing. Except for maybe this. And I hate to make everything about the Cowboys, but what does it say that the Jets beat the Cowboys, but the Jets lost to the Dolphins and the Bengals in the same season? Or that they beat the Giants and then lost to the Dolphins and the Bengals? Not exactly a ringing endorsement of the Giants either, right? But then again, everybody already knew that because they're living in the same world of suck that the Dolphins and the Bengals are.
Living in a world of suck.
The Giants. The Giants are not good. In fact, the Giants are terrible. They just got thrashed by the Packers in their own house, which was their eighth straight loss. And the loudest cheers yesterday were chants of "Go Pack, go!" Go Pack, go! On the road. But if you're looking to come in here and take a run at Daniel Jones for three interceptions and clown him for being a turnover machine, head coach Pat Shurmur ain't having it. He says you've got that all wrong.
Yeah, well, the turnovers today were the interceptions, right? The first one was against two-man. You know, he just tried to fit it in. Today they weren't fumbles, right? And then the one he just overthrew. And then the last one there, he threw a nine ball to Slayton, you know, and I thought he was in a position to either make the catch. So, no, I mean, these were throws. These weren't fumbles.
Oh. Why didn't you say so? You see, ball security is still a major issue for this guy, but while he's still turning it over, apparently, according to his coach, he's turning it over in a less offensive way. Less offensive way. I mean, I guess what Shurmur is trying to get us to believe is that there are bad turnovers, and there are good turnovers, and these are good turnovers. Oh, okay. Just like there are good nicknames and bad nicknames, and Danny Dimes is one of the worst. Bro, save yourself the time and the money of trademarking that one. Believe me when I tell you, unless you learn to take care of the rock, no one anywhere is going to be making a single dime off your terrible nickname. And I forgot where we were exactly in that Daniel Jones loop, because there was the initial reaction that he was a horrible pick. Then he beat Tampa Bay, and all of a sudden he was Joe Montana, Brett Favre, and John Elway all rolled into one, and demanding apologies from the Daniel Jones critics. So now is the Daniel Dimes fan club going to apologize to the Daniel Jones critics for demanding they apologize in the first place? You follow me? And as long as apologies are being doled out, are Raider fans apologizing for telling everybody a few weeks back that they were back? Remember when they had that three-game winning streak? And they were talking junk. Not just about making the playoffs, but winning the AFC West. Remember that? Neither do I. Because after they beat Cincinnati to get to 6-4, when they were all talking all that noise, everything came apart. They got smashed by the Jets. Everything comes back to the Jets, right? 34-3. Then they got murdered by KC yesterday. Two critical games, and they lost them by a combined score of 74-12. And it gets worse. They were up 3-0 on the Jets, and then they gave up 34 straight to the Jets and 31 straight to KC. 65 unanswered points over two games. How's that grab you, Raider fan? Man, that is deplorable. So is the fact that Oakland's receivers had a total of 8 receiving yards in the first three quarters yesterday. November and December football is championship football, and the Raiders have disappeared altogether. So if any of you actually did apologize to the Raiders, feel free to go ahead and take it back. I know I am. And then there are the Chargers. Show me your lightning bolt! I mean, there are no words at this point. I mean, I'm paid to utter words, like I'm known for the words. I've got no words. They brought out the same script yesterday against Denver. Fall behind by a couple of TDs. Come roaring back in dramatic fashion. They managed to stay alive with plays like this on 4th-and-11 from their own 24.
Snap. Here comes the extra rusher. Rivers throws left sideline. Mike Williams fell. Still able to get the ball. What a grab by Mike. Are you kidding me?
Chargers radio. Right, DJ? Are you kidding me? Unbelievable play. And then they get themselves in position to tie this game.
Badgley's kick is up, and it is through. We are tied at 20.
Hell yes. The money Badger hits that. And with 14 seconds left, we're going to overtime. No, we're not. To quote that MMA ref, excuse me, my bad. Because Denver did this.
And Locke's going to let this one fly. He's going deep for Sutton, and he's got him. And we got a flag, and that is the one thing you could not have. Somehow, Casey Hayward is flagged.
Wow.
With 3 seconds left in the game, they throw a flag on Casey Hayward.
Number 26.
Boy, these officials have been something today. What a brutal call. That pass was nowhere near Cortland Sutton.
My man Matt Money Smith is furious. That is gutting, even for the Charger fans. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like I said, there are no words. Even though we've seen this movie so many times before, it is still brutal every time the ending comes. Because each time it's new and it's different, but the pain is so familiar. Because only the Chargers could lose in that fashion. And they do it just about every single time they lose. About the only thing I can do to help you now is change the subject. Or maybe go to break. All right, I still have thoughts on the 49ers and Ravens. Great matchup. I mean, not a pretty game per se, but a great matchup. And I want to get into that. But when we return, Jason Lockenford joins me, CBS NFL Insider. Do not wait any longer. If you want to hit on any of these games, go ahead and do it. If you want to hit on any college games, go ahead and do that. I've got plenty to get to on this Monday. Are you looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. It's hard to find a shirt that looks good untucked. Regular shirts were not meant to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn that way, so they fall at just the right length and they always look sharp. And right now, get 30% off with the Cyber Monday sale going on at any of Untuck It's 80 plus stores and, of course, at untuckit.com. As always, enjoy fast, free shipping and returns on every order. And did you know that Untuck It has more than 50 fits for everybody on your list? So tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages can enjoy the perfect fit of an Untuck It shirt. Try some of our best sellers, like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, and more for up to 30% off right now at their Cyber Monday sale. Just visit your nearest Untuck It store or go to untuckit.com right now for up to 30% off your entire purchase. Untuck It shirts, designed to be worn untucked.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. Once again, next hour, I've got Micah Hyde of the Bills, Bob Myers, Golden State Warriors, president of basketball ops. But right now, we are joined by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today. You know he's a good friend of this program. He is Jason Lockenfora. Jason, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, my friend?
How you doing, JLC?
I can't complain, buddy.
Good.
Can't complain.
All right, so let me ask you about Lamar Jackson, because you and I have talked about him and what he would mean to the Ravens ever since he was drafted last year. So just how big was that win for them yesterday over San Francisco in those elements?
Yeah, I think it was big. You know, they had been on this magic carpet ride, blowing people out by, you know, 30 points a week and basically having games decided at the half and the starters off the field in the third quarter, almost like the preseason. And that's not, you know, that's not the NFL. It's not going to be like a college or high school game, one-way traffic all the time. And they were destroying some really good teams. But, again, that's you know, not usually how it works on a weekly basis up here. So to get sort of an old-school brawl, one where they weren't going to be playing with the lead the whole day, one where they weren't going to go away and hide, and to have an opponent who pushed them the way they did and, you know, has such a dominant defensive line and so is equipped in a lot of ways to do some things against the Ravens defensively that not all teams can. And then also, you know, to have a really smart offensive play caller, you know, string puller in Kyle Shanahan, who will keep tugging at certain weaknesses, who obviously had the outside run, outside zone run game going to a point where the Ravens really couldn't stop it. Yet Baltimore still found a way to win ugly. They managed the game. They were smart about the situations when they did have the ball in the second half, even though San Francisco dominated time of possession. And they played to set up their kicker, who's as good as any who's ever done it. So, yeah, I think it was a statement, a different sort of statement by the Ravens. And you know what? It was a great statement by the 49ers as well. And if those two teams were to meet again in February, I think that would be a heck of a ball game.
Jason Lockenfora, my guest. In fact, you've made my point that I was about to make. I think that even in defeat, San Francisco made a real statement themselves. So the 49ers, Jason, get to chase that game in Baltimore with one in New Orleans on Sunday. What are your early thoughts on that matchup?
You know, I still have this feeling, just sort of this sense that I think New Orleans is the best team in football. I thought that last year, too, and obviously we'll never quite know how that Super Bowl would have played out because of the call that changed it all. But they're obviously a very good team. Offensively, they haven't hit on all cylinders like I thought. You still don't see them really pushing the ball downfield with explosive plays, and I think that's an element that tends to become so critical in the playoffs. It's that one big play here or there. That's going to be a heck of a football game. Two really physical football teams, two defensive lines that can get after it, two head coaches who are smart about offensive scheming and tactics, and putting people in positions to succeed as anybody in the game. And look, Baltimore going to Buffalo, that's not going to be all, you know, roses and cupcakes for them either. I think both these teams are going to feel some physical aftermath from that you know, battle that they threw down in the rain for 3 hours yesterday. And I wonder if it does take a little something out of them short term.
Jason Lockenfora joining us, JLC. So last night the Texans looked really impressive in handling New England, but let me jump ahead of the Patriots, because you reported yesterday that players and coaches in the Patriots locker room would be open to a reunion with Antonio Brown. When you see how that Patriot offense looked last night, and in particular how much trouble the receivers are having getting open and getting separation, how likely then is a reunion?
Well, it all comes down to, you know, to Robert Kraft, who hasn't been really open to it yet. But, you know, look, could Tom Brady or somebody try one last, you know, chance and politic a little bit, you know, say something to him? Could a Bill Belichick try to move the needle? It's clear they cannot stretch the football field, right? It's clear their limitations offensively. They understand it better than anybody. And we're past the trade deadline. And there's only so much you can do now to get better. And, you know, this might be a year where N'Keal Harry just never really gets his feet wet with all the time that he missed, and you can't really count on him. You know, Philip Dorsett's a straight-line guy, but he's never really looked the part of a starting NFL wide receiver. You know, Josh Gordon isn't there anymore. I mean, there's not a lot of options. It's clear that 12 trusts two guys. He trusts the running back, James White, and he trusts Julian Edelman. It's kind of an adventure throwing to anybody else. And I know this, that the chemistry that he and AB had in a very short period of time in practice and in games was very real, and it was palpable to everybody in that building.
We're talking to Jason Lockin for a few more moments. GLC, let's jump ahead to the NFC East. Now, when you consider how the Cowboys looked on Thanksgiving, then how Philadelphia looked yesterday in losing to Miami, Jason, how bad is the NFC East right
it's
now?
Bad. The third, I almost feel like with the number that the AFC East has done on it, like the third place finisher in the AFC East should have to play the champion of the NFC East in a one-game elimination for true control of that division. It's bad. I mean, when you have Washington and New York, who, let's face it, for most of the year have been utterly non-competitive in your division, you're basically getting what should be a four-win subsidy right then and there. And then the other quote-unquote best team in your division, and I'm putting that in air quotes, is a team like Philadelphia or Dallas who've shown any given week they could go out and lose to the Jets or lose to the Dolphins and look pretty pathetic doing it. It's hard to get excited about any of those teams, you know? It's hard to project any of them and say, oh, yeah, that's a team that could roll off three wins in January. You know, and the wild cards of the NFC look pretty – like, let's just say it stays like it is, and it's Seattle and Minnesota, or let's say it's San Francisco and Green Bay, like whatever, you know, that's going to be a tough task for Dallas or Philadelphia or the third-place team in the AFC East, who I think really should win that division.
All right, so if you had to say right now, what are the odds that Jason Garrett is coaching the Cowboys next season, and if he's not, who might they be looking at as a possible replacement?
Well, unless they magically morph into what Jerry thinks they've been since training camp, which is one of the 3 to 5 best teams in the league with a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl, you know, unless that is the path they go down, then I think they absolutely will be making a coaching change. And I think that die's been cast since last offseason. And I don't think it. I know it. I think Lincoln Riley would be the first name that they reach out to, or one of the first names they reach out to, somebody who they'd like to try to secure an audience with as soon as possible. And I do think he would listen. It's hard not to when you got Jerry Jones. He can be pretty persuasive. And you got that, you know, you got that star, and you've got that symbol, and you know, a team that's on prime time, and we know America's team, all that stuff. You know, I think that's a guy who would be very attractive to them.
Jason, last thought: the Chargers, man, they find new and inventive ways to lose. But this is absolutely incredible how that went down yesterday. You and I talked about this when I was back in New York last. But what is your sense as to the future of Philip Rivers with the Chargers?
I think that, you know, they've already had internal discussions about what are we doing right now? And at some point, do we just try to win a game with Tyrod Taylor? Because the highs won't be as high, but the lows won't be as low. And maybe it's a little more sustainable. Maybe it's a little more stable. And then, you know, look, this is, they're at a critical juncture in that franchise in a lot of different ways. And they're not just going to be playing in a soccer stadium off the side of the road anymore. They're moving into this football Taj Mahal. It's going to be the talk of the league. They're sharing it with a team with whom they don't really have a whole lot of natural connections to, and with whom their owners and business side people are not getting along. And I don't know who you market the Chargers around. I mean, Rivers has turned the ball over more than anybody in the league the last 4 years, not named Jameis Winston. He does not look like an ascending asset. He's going to cost 20-odd million, you know, a season, pushing 30 million a season. He's turning 38. He still lives in San Diego. You know, he's not a guy who I think you're going to see out and about in L.A. all the time, or, you know, at this, you know, meeting or that meeting, or you know, pushing the franchise. And they've been looking and evaluating other quarterbacks in the draft with an eye towards taking one high for several years now. They haven't done it yet. But, yes, I do think that somebody else will be their quarterback next year.
He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today. He is Jason Lockin for JLC. I will see you Sunday morning. Thanks so much.
Look forward to it, buddy. Thank you.
You too. Jason Lockin for NFL insider for CBS Sports, breaking it down for you. So some really good intel from Jason, as always. Your thoughts, an open segment next, and then I go back-to-back the top of hour number two. So this is the segment you want to call, 1-800-636-8686. Got a short timeout. In fact, what I have actually is a sports update, and here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is an Ask the Pros Day, and do not forget it. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question there. I will answer one of them or more later on in the program. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know how I like to say to you clones that I know what you're thinking before you think it? So don't send it. This is a perfect example of that. So last night, the Texans make a real statement. And all of a sudden, you've got all these questions about the Patriots. Questions about their offense, certainly, but that's not new. Questions about their defense and more. Except for a lot of you, you don't have those questions. You've got questions about Bill Belichick's family, specifically Belichick's son. Questions like this. Dear Jim, I don't want to talk about inappropriate TD celebrations, all right? I want to talk about Steve Belichick's mullet. What was it doing there?
What were you doing there?
Matt in San Clemente. And here they come. Rome. The Patriots looked bad last night. They were all over the place, getting destroyed and shredded from all angles. Regards, Steve Belichick's lettuce. Francis in Glendale, war irate Craig using candy corn as fake teeth. Hey, Jim, did you catch Steve Belichick's look last night? Someone tell this dude that he's on an NFL sideline. Not in a San Bernardino meth lab trailer. Clean it up, brah. Mike Golick's kid thinks Steve Belichick is bad for his dad's look. Drew in West LA. How many times have I told you that that's not show fodder? Personal appearance and other hosts. I just don't care. Dear Dolphins, Redskins, and Bengals, apparently you still don't know how to tank properly. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Sign the Philadelphia 76ers. Jeremiah in Greenville. Rome. If Michigan could play any defense at all, they would have beaten Ohio State. But no! They let Ohio State walk to at least 8 first downs. Left receivers wide open all over the field, and they could not tackle a librarian. Their defense is worse than Coach Harbaugh's smack-off prowess, and that's pretty pathetic.
Romy, it's good to be on the smack-off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday, and day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind in their child support payments like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
Jim Harbaugh back in the day. Harbaugh, not only on the show back in the day, but Harbaugh in the smack-off? 1998. Man. How far some of us have come since then. 20 years out. That's absolutely amazing to me. And still getting hammered every single time he takes the field against Ohio State. That will get part of its own take a little bit later on. Hey, Jim, did you hear Ohio State beat Michigan this weekend? Crazy, huh? Signed, snow in Buffalo in December. A sunny day in California. Hurricanes in Florida in September. The annual Santa Ana winds, fires in California, earthquakes in California, bums in California, Matt in L.A. on hold in California. Yeah, that was not surprising that they not only lost but got hammered by Ohio State in their own house. And finally, Jim. So the Chargers have lost 8 games by 7 points or less this year. Big deal. I lost 40 pizzas in 30 days on my face.
40 pizzas in 30 days.
Greasily yours, Papa John.
40 pizzas in 30 days.
Brian and Charlotte wore John in New York City photoshopping the Rome family onto his yearly Christmas card.
Hey, John.
Hey, how do you know that I'm not going to photoshop John in New York onto the famous Rome Christmas card? It's a big deal, the Rome Christmas card. Like, Janet never wants anything, never asks for anything, doesn't want a present. All she wants is that Christmas card. So she's kind of renowned for the Christmas card. How do you know we don't Photoshop John onto ours? You don't know. 1-800-636-8686. Bob Myers at the top, Micah Hyde right after that. Let me finish my thought on the 49ers and the Ravens. So that was supposed to be the game of the week, and it was. Two great teams in terrible conditions and elements battling their asses off. Not always a pretty game, but that was an awesome game. Two legitimate heavyweights standing in the middle of the ring, trading haymakers. Two teams that know exactly who they are and what they can do, and they let it rip. They went for it, for instance, on fourth down repeatedly. And for two teams that do not see each other very often, there was some juice. Deebo Samuel appeared to mock Lamar Jackson's TD dance. Mark Andrews mocked Nick Bosa with a flag plant, which was awesome. And then it ultimately all came down to this.
Justin Tucker for the winner. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens take down the 49ers.
Ravens radio. And the way they ended that game, I was thinking to myself, damn. Man, Harbaugh's got an awful lot of confidence in Tucker. But then again, why wouldn't he? He might be the best to ever do it. So my takeaway from that, Baltimore wins, but the game proved a couple of things to me. One, and not that I needed to see this to know this, but it hammered the point home. One, the Ravens are for real. Two, the 49ers are for real. I'm not sure why I would have to say that at this point, but for some of you, it's still a thing. The 49ers, who were banged up, went across the country, and they went toe-to-toe with arguably the best team in the NFL and did it in horrible conditions. So if you had any doubts about the 49ers, those should be put to bed right now. As I said last week, that's a team that could beat anybody in the league and damn near beat the best team in the league in their house in bad elements. That's right. I did say that. The Ravens are the best team in the NFL right now. They've beaten Seattle. They've beaten New England. They've beaten Houston and LA and San Francisco during this run. What more could you possibly want? What more do you need to see? And even on a day when Lamar Jackson didn't play his best game, because of the weather and the opponent, they still found a way to win. And they found a way to win in a different fashion. And I'll say it right now. Sign me up if that's your Super Bowl. Go ahead and run that thing right back. I'd be happy to see that. A rematch of Week 13 and Super Bowl 47, right? But instead of Jim Harbaugh's squad, it'll be Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan trying to get over on John. Speaking of Jim, back to him for a minute. How was your weekend, brah? Who's got it better than you?
Who's got it better than us?
Pretty much everybody. Everybody, my man. Except maybe Elijah Moore. Actually, never mind. Even Elijah has not lost 5 straight to his rivals. And extending the streak overall to 8 in a row. So can we stop with that rivalry stuff? Ohio State, Michigan, best rivalry in college football. It's no longer a rivalry. Not when one side has lost 8 games in a row. Not when the guy who was brought back to restore all that pride has lost 5 in a row. Not only does he lose to them every single year, they get jacked up and humiliated every single year. And it was all set up. It was all set up for him.
Tell that clone to get a life.
Michigan man, where are you now? Do you still have faith that this is your guy to turn this thing around? There was a report yesterday from the student newspaper that he will not be fired. Yeah, probably not. But don't expect anything to change anytime soon. Not if how that's how they look in year 5. Not if that's how they look in year 1 of an Ohio State young coach who takes over. Completely outplayed, outclassed, out-toughed, out-executed, out-coached, out everything that matters. And it happened in their own house. But he's not the only one who had a bad weekend. You tell me, who had a worse weekend? Harbaugh or Nick Saban? Don't answer immediately. Think about that, because they both had really terrible weekends. And that's coming up a little bit later on. I do want to talk about the Patriots. When the Houston Texans linebackers showed up for their game against Indianapolis dressed as Mortal Kombat characters, that was pretty cool. Except when they showed up last night like SWAT team members, that didn't seem that bright. But they got over. And never mind the hoodies, kid. How about the hoodies blow-by handshake of Bill O'Brien after that game? Man, stay classy. Classy as you ever were, hood. Something else I want to talk about.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I mentioned the Raiders, but I do want to talk about the Chiefs. Not just the Chiefs, but my man Andy Reid and his run-up to that showdown last night. He was in rare form.
Oh, yeah.
He had himself a weekend. Don't you do him like that, Alvin. You know better. That's my guy. Dear Rome, the 49ers and the Ravens set themselves apart from everybody else. It is them, then everyone else. And make no mistake, the 49ers are not afraid to face Jackson again. That was a dogfight, and I expect to see that same fight go down in February. Unwar college football players punching each other's helmets. Shane and Slow. That wasn't a dogfight. That was a fist fight. I'd love to see them run that thing back again. Romy, as a Chiefs honk, nothing was better than watching Chunk grimace and pout like he was watching Andy Reid slowly eat the last donut. I hate that tool. Signed, Casey in New Hampshire. Unwar Chucky's game plan for next week, including furrowing his brow more. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about them going into KC with a chance to take over the AFC West. Remember all that? Like, everybody owes them an apology. Even I got in line to apologize for the Raiders. And then they get hammered.
You ever been on a boat that's sinking? It's
50-50 is hindsight, right?
Hindsight, 50-50.
Can't argue with that, Chunk. Know that beatdown they laid on you. Yeah, they're not going to win the AFC West. This just in, they're not going to win the AFC West. Charger fan, I understand that every single loss this year has been by one score or less. But even for the Chargers to lose that game the way they did, to come all the way back the way they did, and then have a PI call down the field to set up the game winner.
Wow.
Only the Chargers lose like that. Who do you have tonight? Great matchup tonight. Vikings at Seattle. Kirk Cousins with an opportunity, and he's played really well of late, with an opportunity to show that he can get it done in prime time on the road. That's why they brought him in. That's why they paid him that money, to win games like this one and games bigger than this one. Is he going to get it done? Who you got tonight? Romy, back the hell off Steve Belichick. We thought his hair looked good. Regards, Mike Gundy, Adam Hawk, and Ira. Why you tell me to back the hell off him? I didn't say anything about his hair. I read your reaction to his hair. I don't even care if that guy looks like he lives under a freeway overpass. I'm fine with that. As long as he can scheme up. Geoff and Lincoln sent that. War Ira using a string and tin cans as an ADT security system. Does he have to punch in his code on that? It's like Coke, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, Club Soda. Damn, it didn't work. Hey, Rome, has anybody checked in on Sean in Syracuse after Harbaugh body bagged him 20 years ago?
Tell that clone to get a life.
Damasio in Albuquerque. Not that I know of, D. All right, so we'll go back to back when we come back. I've got Bob Myers first and then Micah Hyde right after that. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.